All right, a couple of weeks ago, I gave you an assignment that was to check the newspapers for an article. Who brought an article this week? Elma, did you bring an article this week? That was if you were going to be on time, but because you weren't on time, you're not exempt, okay?
You lost your free pass.
All right, you're lucky. You know, I like Beth. She knew exactly where I was going with that, and she's covering for you. She's taking a bullet for you. Go ahead, Beth. Wait, hang on a minute. Microphone there.
Beth.
Unfortunately, she doesn't have a big mouth like us.
I just didn't want to come over by Sarge.
Thank you. I saw this online, and I'm not sure whether or not it's true, but it says that Pepsi is putting out a new can with the Pledge of Allegiance, leaving out the words "under God," because they don't want to offend anyone. But I'm offended.
And what I would suggest, I don't know if that's true, but if it is, call the Pepsi company and say, listen, you're making concessions for one group. I'm offended. I will be drinking Coca-Cola from now on.
Yeah,
I'm tired of this political correctness. Yes.
I think I'd like to go a little bit further with that. I think if it's true, I'd like to get some letters together and have our church sign it, maybe take it to other churches. And I think we need to stop just saying,
I got a great
agree.
Idea. It just hit me like a lightning bolt. Every now and then I get revelation.
Huh.
Okay? So if I trance out on you, you know, it's not a concussion like Joe suffered last week. Okay? Here's what we're going to do. I want you to bring in, you can get empty Coke cans, but I want you to bring in about 40 or 50 of them. And next Sunday, we're going to take a group picture holding Coke. And we'll have a Pepsi bottle, a couple Pepsi bottles down there at our feet, but we're going to all be holding Coke and smiling, and we're going to send that to the Pepsi Cola Company.
I like that. Okay.
Say, Coke has now converted us.
I think
yeah, we'll have a flag. We'll have Bob and Sarge dressed up in Brian in their military uniforms. We'll have a 21-gun salute. I mean, we'll do it all. Quick.
Oh.
Hang on. We got Charlie
I'm
there.
I'm coming. Charlie. Mr. Delta.
Hey, I don't know if anybody heard this in the news this past. I heard that, and I'm not mistaken, I might be mistaken on where it was at. I think it was Nebraska or wherever. They're trying to take away the use of certain Christmas songs because they're not politically correct or they're not whatever and they're offensive to.
Yeah, you're exactly right. What Charlie's talking about is in the public school systems. Now it's coming down from Washington, D.C. or through the state capitals that the singing of religious Christmas songs like Silent Night or Away in a Manger or those type of songs are now prohibited, and to stick to a strictly secular type of Christmas pageant. In other words, sing about Rudolph and, Santa Claus, Frosty Snowman. Yeah. Now, there was a guy at Eastern Michigan years ago. He was the head of the, what was that?
In church, I mean, in schools, you can't make Christmas anymore. It's a holiday.
Yeah.
So it's a holiday tree instead of a Christmas tree.
Yep.
That's exactly right. I've told the story years ago. My daughter, when she went to U of M, first year she was there in the dorm that she was in. It was all female dorm. And one of the girls came down, knocked on the door and says, excuse me, we're going to be decorating for the holidays. Would you like to help us? And so she went down there and they put up the Christmas tree. And one of the girls says, excuse me, we do have one rule. We cannot call this a Christmas tree. It's a holiday tree because we don't want to be offensive to everybody. So obviously Chrissy got up there and having that woolen, argumentative spirit. She argued with him. Kim.
Real quick, just to throw, I love to shop, right? So if you guys, for the ladies in the house, Forever 21, at the bottom of every single one of their bags, it's imprinted John 3:16. So there's some, so you got to support things like that. So, hey, Forever 21.
Good. All right, we got Sarge over here. He's got his arm open.
You got everybody excited with this one, Pastor.
Yeah, I'm not into computers, but you people that are, look up your history, the rise of the Third Reich, the rise of Nazism, buddy. And I'll tell you what, you say, what? That sounds awful familiar. That's coming.
Yep.
You know, being Polish, I'm always kidding Roger. Most people don't realize that if it wasn't for the Polish, we'd have probably lost World War II. Isn't that right? That's exactly right. Because they decoded this machine called the Enigma. Well, a lot of the Polish mathematicians. Well, we just recently got something. The Polish are trying to change the world again, Roger. You remember Lech Walesa?
Yeah. Anybody in union? Thank
you. That's right. Yeah.
I want you to hear, give him the microphone there, Bob. Listen to the headline here, and then I'll explain it a little bit. Because Lech was very instrumental in the assisting of bringing down communism back in the mid-80s. If those that are old enough remember, he was the one that organized the unions over there in Poland and really helped, inspired the East Germans to tear down the wall. But read the title of that article there.
Lech Lewinsky wants to set, wants a set of secular Ten Commandments. This is a story about the Judeo-Christian tradition holds that God wrote the Ten Commandments with his own finger. The Golden Rule, another great law in history, comes to him from the lips of Jesus, Matthew 7:12. The Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule have helped undergrad Western law since the days of Jerusalem. Judaism.
Yeah, you don't have to go through the whole thing. I just wanted to bring that up real quick. What Lech is suggesting is that the world get together, the United Nations or the United World Council of Churches, and draw up a new secular Ten Commandments. Yep. Okay? Because we've rejected the Ten Commandments that God has given us. So now we've got to have a basis for organizing everybody and having a code of ethics. Okay? But I thought, you know, he actually takes from Ted Turner. Anybody know who Ted Turner was?
Yes.
A TBN, most of you probably have it on your cable. Turner, yeah, Jane Fonda, Turner Broadcasting.
We love her.
Yes. Okay, yeah, you got military guys. But Ted Turner came up back in the 80s with his 10 suggestions for the way we should live. Now, who is Ted Turner to tell anybody how to live? And don't we often hear, you know, hey, I don't want you Christians shoving your morality down my throat. But it's okay that they now shove their morality down other people's throats. So they realize you've got to have a moral code that everybody's going to recognize in order to function on a global stage or a global society. Because if you have one culture that observes one set of rules, and then you have another culture that observes another set of rules, and they conflict, you're going to have problems. Bob?
Most people don't know it, but he was a socialist.
Lech?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was a socialist. Most people think he's like, you know, real freedom type. No, honestly not. Socialism is against Communist Party, but they have their own agenda. His agenda was to put the socialists in, and that's exactly what he was trying to do. And as far as, and the unions are infiltrated with that anymore.
Right.
But if you read an original print of the UAW bylaws, which I have at home and I can show anybody, a paragraph in there says, no socialists, no communists, no anarchists are allowed to be in the UAW. Now that's all it is.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the truth of the matter is socialism and communism are the same thing. All right? It's state dictating. In communism, you have the state owns everything. In socialism, there's still private an image of private property, but the government tells you what you can do and what you can do with your property. So they control it the same as in communism. Back in World War II, when we had Nazism in Germany, okay, which was socialism, then you had communism in Russia. They're really the same thing, okay. Somebody once said that communism is socialism, but they're in a hurry to get there and they got a gun. All right, it's a more violent. So socialism will always develop into full-fledged communism. We see that today in Europe, in Greece, in Italy, in Spain, these economies are destroyed because they bought into a socialist slash communistic type of marketplace. All right, that the government now dictates prices, it controls the production. And when we get, and that's why capitalism is despised, because it comes from a biblical
free
world.
Will, even in finances.
Exactly right. So in the Bible, what do we read? We read about the man who, you know, was given 10 talents, he earned 10 talents more, another one got 5, and so there was a profit motive, all right? And understanding human nature is that we are, by nature, what, sinners, that we're greedy? God's established a system in which everybody benefits. That's why I love the Pawn Star cable TV. They walk in, the guy has a diamond ring, you know, okay, I want to pawn this or sell it. And they debate back and forth. Now, if the guy doesn't like the price, what does he do? I'm not interested, I'll go somewhere else. But if they come to a mutual agreement, they both shake hands and they walk out of there happy. One guy gets cash, the other guy gets something. He's got to sell for a profit. But they're, you know, that's the way the system works. Okay, so you know we look at these newspaper articles, and once again, everything that you see, you know, there was something that occurred this week in the NFL. There was Miami Dolphins. There was a lineman there, and during their lunchtime, he got up and stormed out because he was being bullied or made fun of. I don't know all the details yet. Okay, so all you heard on the sports channels were, this is right, this is wrong. And I'm laughing the whole time saying they're discussing religion. You know, you can't get away from having a particular worldview that's going to dictate to you what is right, what is wrong. All right, so we're looking at contrasting worldview assumptions, value. How is human life valued? All right, man's value and worth is determined by the society into which he was born. In ancient Greece, you had different, you had city-states, you had Athens, and you had Sparta. And their view of what mankind was differed. It still was, man was the ultimate answer, okay, just like in our country today. Man is the ultimate reference point, our Supreme Court. If we're going to pass a law, what do we refer it to? Well, the Supreme Court said A, B, C, and D, and there's no supposedly higher authority than that, all right? So we're seeing, I had an article at the class on Thursday over in Belgium. There's now a push to make euthanasia. Everybody know what euthanasia is? It's not youth over in Europe or in China, okay? Euthanasia is the being assisted to commit death, like Dr. Kevorkian. They call that euthanasia. Over in Belgium, what they're doing now is there's a push there for children to be allowed to make the determination that they can take their own life. And this is gaining popularity. They have euthanasia there for older people, for people that have Alzheimer's or some type of medical condition. The society now steps up and says, these people are a drag, we can't cover them, they're taking valuable resources, and therefore the society says, we can put them to sleep or kill them. Fred.
I don't know if this is true, but aren't they considering a law in Canada similar to that because of the, you know, one-payer system they got over there?
Right, right. And that's
some third Supreme Court or something.
And that's the argument where this Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act will lead to is that as the resources become more and more scarce because you're going to have, you know, most of the population paying for everybody that's on it, now the government's got to make determinations what procedures are going to be paid for and which aren't. And so if you get the policy now, and this is what's being fought by a lot of churches, a lot of private organizations, in that policy, you are pay- so if you get the policy, you have abortion, you have contraceptives and pills and all that kind of stuff. So you're paying for that, even though you may be personally opposed to it. It's still in your policy, where today if you go through a private insurer, you get what you want. Okay, so you form your policy, say, I want A, B, C, and D. No, I don't want anything for abortion. I don't want anything birth control. Okay, I don't want anything, you know, one of these other things. You determine what you want, but now they're being forced to take it. And so these hospitals that were Catholic or, you know, Protestant are being forced by the government to include these in their health care policies.
I was going to ask, oh, you haven't got to the biblical assumption yet.
No, no.
It's so funny. It's just everything you put up there is there always direct opposite. Have you noticed that? Everything, whatever you have under world's assumption, just turn it completely around and you have the right answer.
And that's exactly right. For everything in life. You know, I drive down the road and I went to Eastern Michigan University, and if you see the billboards there, you'll see the girl up there, you know, we value diversity at Eastern. And it drives me nuts. I've told the story about the young black girl that was in the psychology program there and got booted out, and you had U of M, and you had Michigan State, and you had Toledo, and all the big major universities supporting Eastern Michigan University for what they didn't respect her opinion. They'll respect everybody else's opinion because this young black girl said that she was a Christian, and it was against her religious belief to counsel this young homosexual man. She said, hey, And she went to the head and said, you know what, turn it over to somebody else. I just, you know, my heart's going to tell me I have to tell him he can change. What he's doing is wrong. And they said, no, you have to counsel him. She said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it. You know, you're not going to force me to say something against what I believe. I was meeting for pre-marriage counseling with Eric and Angela. We were sitting over Tim Hortons, a young Muslim girl there, and you know, she was sitting there reading a book, and we got into a conversation and told me she was going into counseling. And so I began to ask her questions. You could see there was, she was diametrically opposed to what she religiously believed. In her religion, she believed that we have a soul and that there's a proper way to train that soul. But in what she was being taught, they're taught there is no soul. Man is just an animal, product of his environment, or is hereditary, and being trained a particular way. Fred?
About that lady that didn't want to counsel that that guy, she actually did everything right what she was supposed to do when mm-hmm. you do not want to counsel somebody. She took it to her supervisor.
The head of the department.
Yeah, head of the department, whoever it was. And by their standards, that was legal for her to do, you know, saying conflict of interest, whatever it was, it could have been anything. But they just didn't like the fact that it was a Christian saying, you know, it was the whole Christian worldview stuff that they considered wrong. So I don't know. Did she ever win that lawsuit? I mean, I know.
She won it. She won it. Of course, you'll never see that promoted on the front page of the paper. But yeah, she did win that. I think it was an appeal, but it was won at a lower level.
They all got together and appealed it.
Yeah. So we see that, like in Nazi Germany or communism or whatever society it is, most of the times, man value and worth is determined by what the society was born into. So it used to be in our society, whoever was born was considered valuable because there was intrinsic value. He was a creation. He was made in the creator of God, a young baby. But back in the 70s when abortion, well, actually before that, when we begin drifting away from the biblical interpretation of what man is, okay, now man's value was determined by financial cost. Go online to Harvard University. They have free classes. You can go on there and watch it. And it's pretty interesting to watch some of these classes, but they have an ethics class. And there must have been 3,000 kids in this class, and the professor's talking about how much is your life worth? And most major corporations have come up with a formula to determine how much you're worth. And back in the 80s, it was about $3.5 million. How many of you remember the Ford Pinto? Okay. What was the problem with the Ford Pinto, Sarge?
If somebody ran in the back of your car 90 miles an hour, it's going to catch on fire. Go on.
Actually, it was a...
Go ahead, Bob.
Actually, it was a plastic gas tank set on cardboard, and the cardboard was stapled to the back of the car. Very cheap to make, but if it was hitting the rear, it would combust. If it was, you had a half a tank or less, you had enough fumes in there that it hit metal on the side,
right.
Which that's why they put the cardboard in, so it wouldn't hit metal. But in a bad accident, if it hit the side, it would blow.
Now, what happened, the Ford Motor Company knew that before they began mass production of the Ford Pinto. And what they said was, it is cheaper to pay off the lawsuits than it is to bring the car back in and have it refitted with the proper gas tank and proper protection. And so the value of human life at that time was determined to be about $3 to $3.5 million. So it was cheaper for them to pay out maybe a couple hundred lawsuits that would result in people being killed because of the defect or the shoddy work than it is to bring them in. So that is what they were talking about in this ethics class, that, you know, a corporation, and the main point is, how much is your life worth? Well, to God, guess what? It's invaluable. We know that he loved us so much that he sent his own son to come and die for us. So man has great value.
Even old men.
Even young men.
What does the Bible say about older people? The wisdom. You know,
they're to be honored.
There was actually...
We're going to get to that, too.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sharon.
You know, Ollie's been praying for my son, and he's still trying. He's got a master's degree. His job went to another state that he can't move to, and he's still trying to find a job. But the job he has, he doesn't get health insurance. And he says it's cheaper for him he's still looking for health insurance to pay the fine the first year than it is to try to buy insurance that he doesn't have the money to pay for. and he knows somebody who's on government health insurance. She has spent over a year trying to get the proper medical help and the proper medical test, and the government controls that. I can imagine what the government's going to do with this.
Yeah, so we see that when man determines your value, okay, it will continually be brought down lower and lower and lower and lower. Yeah, Kathy right here.
Kathy, I'm sorry, Kathy. You blended in with that shirt. I
know. Yeah, kind of like a chameleon
so
there.
Beige
it's like camouflage. But that's the problem with the world when they put a value on your life. However, so we have all these kids growing up feeling like they have no worth and they don't know how important they are and how much they are loved and they have no worth. But then you have everyone out saying how horrible the world is because these kids commit suicide. Well, you're telling them they're not worth anything. You know, you're not teaching them that they're worth something.
Right. The whole philosophy is, and we say this, if you go back and you're just a product of an accident, an evolutionary process, guess what? You're just an accident. There's no intrinsic value there. But if you're a special creation of a God, then there is intrinsic value. You're worth something. You're created by this God for a purpose. So, very good. All right. Ed, we have the two videos here. What? Not that one, the other one. Go to secular psychology. Let's kind of go along with this young girl. How long is that video? 3 minutes? Okay, go ahead.
Historically, that is exactly the way that theologians saw emotional and psychological issues. They saw them as soul care issues, likely issues of sanctification. But alas,
Ed,
man said,
stop it for
not so much. We've got some better...
Okay, when we talk about that word psychology, he's going to be. That's what he's talking about here is the soul. Okay, and the young girl that was over at Tim Hortons, that was my question. Do you have a soul? Well, she answered in the affirmative. She said, yeah, I'm a Muslim. I believe you have a soul. I said, well, why are you going to teach people something that's contrary to that? And so he's going to show you right here the two different views. Go ahead, Ed.
Your ideas. After all, in the age of reason, we observe, we study, and we know more than God does because they hated him. And so man, over the last century or so, has come up with major fields of what we would call secular psychology. The depth model, digging into your dreams, your subconscious, to try to figure out what really is going on back there. Why? So we can release your id to be free, because the problem is the superego, the church, has caused you to feel really guilty. How do you get rid of that guilt? Well, keep committing the same sin, and the guilt will go away, which it does because the Bible tells us your heart is getting hardened. Sigmund Freud would say, now you're liberated. B.F. Skinner thinks that we're nothing but a dog, so if we simply can train our pet, we can train people to behave better. Carl Rogers and...
I like that guy.
Yeah. You know, he uses... we froze up there. But what he's doing is illustrating a point. These guys that were the founders or the pioneers of modern psychology, they all had a view of man. And the view of man was, you weren't created in the image of God. Your view of man was that...
And his third force, he believed that we've got the answer within ourselves. We can thank him for every corny song that has ever been recorded in the last century. You're the wind beneath my wings, climb every mountain to dream the impossible dream. You can all do a hat tip to Carl Rogers. All secular to the core. The Bible is...
All right, well, we're running into problems there. Pray over that, Ed. Okay, so those of you that high school or even college had a psychology class, once again, you know, you've heard of Sigmund Freud. You can stop that, Ed. Go on here. Okay? So you can see, and you're going to see it everywhere. You go into the doctor's office, you're going to see the magazine Psychology Today, or you're going to see World Health or Men's Health or Ladies Health or Cosmo, whatever it is, there's going to be a particular view on how you should live. All right. Let's go to truth a little bit because this goes along with. Go ahead, Bob.
I just went to my doctor, and he's a Christian. He said, I apologize to you, Bob, before I say this, but have you thought of suicide within the last 2 weeks? By law now, they have to ask people that. I said, just kidding when I said, no, I didn't think about it. You said that. Now I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, yeah. I had a funny story. A young guy that I knew got arrested for drunk driving, and they had him sitting in jail. And he was so depressed because he got arrested. You know, he was had a nice job and all that. And one of the police officers came back, knocked on the cell, and he said, "Sir, how are you feeling?" He goes, "How do you think I feel?" He goes, he's being sarcastic. "I feel like killing myself." Shouldn't have said that. Okay? First thing they did, they went and got the straitjacket, put it on him, called the fire, the rescue. They took him over to the psych ward. Now, this is back in the day when Higuera, we used to call it Eloise, back up. He was there. They forced him to stay there for a month. Now, he wasn't suicidal. He was just being a smart aleck. Then they shipped him up to Lansing. He was in a state hospital up there for another couple weeks. And then when they let him go, he had no money. He couldn't call nobody. They wouldn't let him call nobody from the hospital. They just basically, "You're free," and kicked him out the front door. He's up in Lansing, no way to get back. He's trying to beg money from people in McDonald's, you know, get some change just so he can make a phone call back here, somebody come pick him up. But nowadays, you're exactly right. Somebody makes that type of comment, they take it very seriously, and they're going to try to get him in there, which is a good thing. But on the other hand, you have in the public school system, not maybe here in Michigan, but in California, where they actually have classes now on how to commit suicide.
But the only reason they say that, they're not worried about your life.
No.
They're not worried about your life. They think it's useless. What they're worried about is them getting sued, and their guy, which is their money or their company, is going to get sued and go out of business. That's all they care about with asking these questions, like they're concerned when they're not.
Yeah, you're exactly right. They want to get you out of there, and they want to be able to say, "We did everything possible." That's right, to get them out. And so, you know, there are people that definitely care. I'm not saying there's everybody in the medical field or police or firemen, but the prevailing philosophy is cover your own rear end. Okay? Go ahead, Sharon.
The church has already been preaching about the children not spending a lot of time on their phones and on their computers and stuff unsupervised. But according to the news, now the government wants to get into it too. Teachers are going to start being asked to question your children to find out how much time they're spending on all the electronics.
Yeah. So we see that, you know, once again,
the school in the state raise our kids.
That's exactly right. And that's what they want to do. And that's why, you know, the homeschooling movement gained such popularity. That's why over in Germany now homeschooling has been outlawed. There was a couple that tried to seek political asylum in the United States, tried to... You and your wife are familiar with that, and there's some others that are homeschoolers, and you're up on that kind of stuff. But it's because the state will dictate to you how you're going to raise your kids. Right, Esther?
Yeah.
Yeah, Troy?
There was a judge in California, the 9th District. It's like a, not a state court. I think it was a state court. And he said when your kid, that basically your child, when they step foot on the school property, they are property of the state, that a parent no longer has the authority. The state is the authority because it's a government-run school. So
that's exactly right. Yeah. You know, there was a Latin term, loco parenti, which meant that those parents acted in the role of a parent. Okay? Now the parents act in the role of the state. So you try to raise your kid a certain particular way, you know, now they consider it child abuse if you bring them up in a Christian faith or some type, and that's what it is that you'll be prosecuted in some place. Canada, you know, they are coming down on a lot of families because they're saying, listen, your kid should be free to pick his own religion. You're pushing somebody on him because, huh?
And gender.
Yeah, I mean, you know, okay.
Esther. I was in a DHS office, and...
Which is a what? Tell everybody.
Welfare office.
Department of Human Services.
And I spanked Aaliyah because, actually, I didn't even spank her in front of anybody. What happened was she started to throw herself on the ground, and I was trying to tell her to get up because somebody was trying to talk to me, and she wouldn't listen. So I picked her up, and I took her to the bathroom, and I disciplined her. I spanked her 3 times consecutively on her rear end. And I was saying to her, Aaliyah, you cannot do what you feel like doing whenever you feel like doing it. And Nana was asking you not to lay on the ground because it was very unsanitary. And she understands what I'm saying because I've spoken to her this way. But we were in a bathroom that was echoing because you're in a bathroom and that's what happens. And there was 2 ladies behind the wall of the bathroom listening to what I was doing. And
they, as soon as I came out of the bathroom, all of their people behind the glass were all looking at me, and they unlocked a room, took me to a room, and said to me they were turning me into protective services for child abuse. Mm-hmm. So that afternoon, this was like at, now by this time it's 9:30, by noon I had protective services at my house. I was very thankful that God was directing my steps. I talked to Pastor Don, and I actually, I don't know what made, I think God made me leave my house because I wasn't, I probably would have said something inappropriate to the lady, but I didn't go, I didn't stay at home. I actually went and took Leah swimming. When I came home at 6 o'clock in the evening, there was a note in my door that protective services was there, and I was to immediately give them a call. I immediately gave her a call, left her a voicemail. The next morning, by 8 o'clock in the morning, she wanted to know where Leah was, and she wanted to come meet with me before noon. So she then asked, and me flippantly just gave her the daycare that she was at. They were going to go see Alea's body, and I honestly think it was a prejudice thing. I believe that it was because those the women that were there were all African-American. I am white, and I have an African-American child.
I thought you were Mexican.
They were saying that I was abusing
Strange
her because
meat.
she's African-American, and I am white. And the lady that came into my house told me she was going to take it to the extreme after viewing Alea's body and no marks were there. And I said to her, I could have stopped my grandbaby from crying. I could have immediately stopped her from laying on that floor by encouraging her to act that way, by treating her for her behavior, by giving her a candy. Yeah. But I did not do that, and I will not do that. But I forgot to mention this. When they took me into the room, they told me that the office that I was in was beyond the law. They told me I am not to lay one finger on their property on my child. She told me, you need to know this. You are not to lay your finger on that child.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with you.
You know, where was that law when I was a kid? Because my dad... I'm not kidding. You know, he had a nickname on all his shirts, and it was Whip. Okay? And he got that nickname from playing baseball, a good throwing arm, but we never knew that. We thought my dad had that nickname on his shirt because, man, that belt, he didn't care who was watching. You know? If we did something wrong, we were out in the middle of the field, I'll never forget this. He'd go, oh, you boys over, and we all split running. I mean, the fear of God came on us. It's like, man, you know, there's an angel of death standing there. And I remember, he didn't take me home or take me to a private room, man. It was like all the neighbors came out. Hey, honey, give me another coffee. The woolen boy is getting spanking out on the street, you know. Yeah, I mean, that's the way it was. And the neighbors had authority from my parents to spank us. You know, you didn't go screw around on there because the old man come out. Hey, you know, your dad told me. I go, hey, I'm sorry, you know. But that was the way it was. Okay, we gotta close up here because we're running out of time. We got started late here today a little bit, but so we'll get back to this next week. We only have a couple more weeks, but once again, just watch the papers, watch this. I'm going to actually give you a test at the end that you're going to be able to see where you stand in a lot of areas. Don't worry, it's not a pass-fail, but it's just to give you an idea of where you're at.
But if you do fail, you're out of the church.
That's right. So, you know, in Esther's case there, that you have the state, telling. Now, is there child abuse and the state's got to be aware of that? Yes. Is there a proper way to discipline your kid? And yes. Is spanking a bill? Yes. But there will be a lot of parents that will abuse their kids. Well, I'll close with this. Had a guy when I was on the police department, and he bought his kid a brand new bike. And he told his kid, when you go somewhere, you lock that bike up. The day he bought it, he went up to 7-Eleven over here and it got stolen. And so this guy, he took out the belt. Well, the kid started doing the bunny hop, and he hit his son on the lower back, down on the lower legs, and there was red welts there. So his wife, as they were going through the divorce at this time, this is now her opportunity to come in. She came in. We had to go over there. We checked the kid, and you got red welts all up and down the leg and on the back, nothing on the rear end. What does that look like? Child abuse. Okay? So there's a proper way to administer discipline. It doesn't always have to be a spanking, but there comes a time that you have to give them a little whack on the fanny, okay? But there's a certain way to do it. when you start hitting them and they're jumping around or, you know, pulling hair or punching them, that's abuse there. And that's
thankfully,
not the way
that same group would have took her child from her and by law could have given it to a gay couple.
Yes, yes, yes.
Be in foster care.
Yeah, so everything is, as Bob said to start off the day, everything is the opposite of what the scriptures tell us. We as Christians have to raise our kids and our families and have to believe and see life through that particular lens, which is founded upon the scripture. And we will get back to some more of these assumptions that society versus biblical assumptions. And the one we looked at here today was value. Do you have value if there's no God? No. Okay, and if you think about it, you know, who is the most valuable? Well, whoever holds power, you know. But if all men and women are created in the image of God, then you have that intrinsic value. You're valuable just from the fact that you're created in the image, okay, of the eternal being who's created us for specific reasons. Whole different way of viewing human beings, okay? All right, let's close in prayer. Sebastian. Right there, right in front of you. Sebastian, would you close us in prayer today, my man?
You're so big, you look like a grown person.
That's right. I
missed you.
Okay. Yeah, we just pray for today that we have a blessed day today in church and that everything goes well today. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Good job. Good job.